Tonight, we catch up with the people behind the thought-provoking play, New Country. Then later, Rich Lenkov has our legal breakdown. And finally, friend of the show, James Vickery rides sidecar. All that and more right now on Pretty Late from the Showcase Studio West with Patty Vasquez. This is Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We are sans Patty Vasquez at the exact moment. And now wait. No, now we are very wait. Patty Vasquez.
Don't anyone go anywhere. And what? We... Hello.
And
here
we go.
A little frightening because you just...
No, it wasn't. Like, my heart's fine. Like, my heart rate's just
that was
fine.
Like evil villain laugh. Like you were waiting like, yes, now
yes,
I'm here.
I am here.
With authority. I like to.
I had no more. I had no more bump trail left music. So
right.
I had to feel
like
I was so ready, Craig. I was ready.
Were you?
Oh yeah.
To
impersonate
run.
Patty.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Hey, Patty.
I'm having a weird day. This is fine. This is appropriate. Just so you know, I had my LA Brazilian. Just so you know.
Oh wow.
I don't know why you need to know that.
Was that before or after your bubble bath?
It was before my bubble. It was after my bubble bath. I don't think you should bubble bath.
How many people
post.
Know about the bubble bath?
Because it's on her Facebook.
It was all me. Okay, all the people.
Because she called me. What do you
okay. All the people.
I was calling everybody. Guess where I am now?
Well, I did talk to Patty on the phone. Well, I believe you were post-bubble bath. When were we talking?
Nope.
Okay.
During
bubble bath, yeah.
During bubble bath. That's my first time. I've never had a conference call. I don't think I've ever been on the phone while in a bubble bath.
Were you scared to drop the phone?
Well, I have a water. I don't. It's a water resistant, which I don't think droppage in a bathtub would stand up to that. But I was willing to take a chance.
Depends on how quickly you pulled it out.
Okay.
Or how many? Or how many bubbles?
I mean, if you whip it out real quick, then it's probably fine.
Hey, I have a confession, Patty. I took a bubble bath tonight too.
Oh wow!
Did you really?
I really
you saw my
genuinely.
Picture?
No. Pre picture. Yeah, I wasn't inspired to. I just. I genuinely
wait a
did.
Minute.
Do you have boats?
Are you a bubble bath person?
I am. Oh my! Wait, can I retract? We're not on the air, are we?
No, we are.
Okay.
No, totally.
I occasionally do take. I'm a grown man, and I occasionally take a bubble bath.
See, you, that is
you fit in your tub.
That is the line, by the way, for guys. I believe I do not put bubbles in when I bathe. There are no bubbles.
Oh,
no,
so wait, that makes me an adult man.
Bubbles are a key part for me.
No, wait, but that's the question. Did you bathe? And had a bubble bath, or was it just, I'm already clean, I'm going to have a bubble bath?
Bubble bath, and then a shower right after.
You have
shower
to.
After.
Because, yeah. Yes. Because because really you're not bathing when you're in a bathtub.
Right.
You're stewing in your own stuff.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
some people just be like, I'm just going to have a bubble bath.
I feel
and then
clean
get out.
At the end of my bath.
You shouldn't.
Because, like, I've soaped myself.
Yeah, but.
Right.
And then sat in it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're
whatever filth you were bringing in.
I have to believe that Craig stands up and rinses after he's done.
How dirty are you people? Pre-bath.
Have you ever...
I see are bubbles from the soap, not that I've created, not on purpose. These bubbles happen by accident from the cleaning. But I feel very clean, and then I'm done.
It's human oils.
You're not doubting... Right. The stuff that you're... See, okay. Because... you use a soap and you are removing that
right.
layer.
Yep.
But then you're in the layer is in
that's
the water.
Not how it works.
Yeah, it does.
It's not like soup. No, it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly my
it
bathtub
not.
Looks a lot like chicken soup.
The water is helping you clean yourself with the soap, and then once you've used the soap, you are clean and you can leave.
Now wait. Have you ever looked at your tub after you've gotten out of a bath? There's a ring. What do you think that ring is?
There's no ring in my tub.
Really? You don't get I get
no,
one.
I have
if I
no
sit
rings.
In there too long?
Craig's just just angelic. <There's> no...
I am in pristine condition
yes.
all the time.
You're a constant state of cleanliness.
I
because
am.
How many times a day do you bathe?
I bathe at least, I shower or bathe at least once every day.
It should be known he's okay. in a bathtub right now as I'm looking at him.
See,
right.
this is what I thought.
We're all bathing.
I mean,
ooh,
summer,
that would be a good show.
In the summer, you got to go twice, though, right? We bathe or shower twice.
It depends on time.
As a man, sweaty
Esmeralda
man,
and I have,
James?
I usually have to shower twice.
Yeah,
if I'm going to be
you.
Doing anything, being around people of any
doing,
kind.
Do anything.
Yeah,
it's
anything.
Not like video games on the couch. Yeah.
Do you sweat that much, Patty? I don't.
Well, the thing for you and I is that, you know, we have long hair, too, so we take that into consideration as far as how often I'm going to get in the shower and then dry.
Does that also
but
make
I do
you...
the whole, I do the, I put it up.
See, now I feel like we're getting somewhere, though. Does that also make you feel like the water is dirtier because you have so much long hair and you're cleaning that?
Interesting.
Well, whenever I take a bath, I get down and dirty in my bath.
Yeah.
And I shave legs.
I always scrub feet. Mm-hmm.
Well, what the hell? No, you can't do that.
I'm doing dishes.
You shave your legs and then you're... That is amazing. No, but see, okay, now I would take a shower afterward if I, like, shaved and there's hair.
Yes.
That sounds terrible.
And the tub needs to be rinsed afterwards.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
I would not shave in the bath. That's a shower thing.
That's true. I've never shaved in the bath.
Yeah, I don't... Why would you do that?
Because you're in the water and it's warm.
Yeah. And you've softened the hair.
But then you are actually in the tub with your hair.
I know, but then I get out. It's not, and I rinse. Yeah.
See, this is why I don't have to rinse, though.
We just figured out. Yep, you're not shaving anything.
I bathe, and then I take a proper shower.
Right. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's what everyone does, but me.
Yes.
Why is that? What you're getting texts about?
No, I got to check the text right now. No, we're not getting any pro or
312-981.
Send your bubble bath pics.
What is the point of a bath then if you have to shower?
Relaxing.
To relax.
To relax.
It's cleanliness.
No.
You're cleaning yourself. How long do you guys bathe for?
What
depends. If I put some candles on.
I would say like 10 minutes.
And if there's jets, you never know what's going to happen.
Wow.
There were jets. And lighting. They have mood lighting in their tub.
Oh, see, that's a key.
Okay, that's like a hot tub then.
Oh. I'm so sorry, Los Angeles. You may have a drought well into the next century.
Wait, James, I'm curious though. Do you fit properly in your bathtub?
Yeah. How tall do you think I am?
I'm impressed. No, because I don't fit.
My knees go up. Home tub.
Oh, yeah. It's not. I guess I can't. You know, sleep in there. But I could lean back and legs up a little.
Knees
bit.
Knees up or straight out? Are your legs straight?
Knees a little bit up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, I was reading a book in there. I was reading a book and having a bubble bath.
Your arms get all cramped up?
No, but I'm paranoid that I'm going to drop it.
Right.
So I don't fully enjoy it.
You got to get one of those trays.
Yeah, you got to get a tray.
See that?
Mm-hmm. Then you can eat
put your elbows on it.
What are you guys talking about?
My bubble bath tray.
No, you clean for 10 minutes and you get out.
What?
No,
that's it.
Soak.
You're really...
The water doesn't even stay warm for that long.
Yeah, then you turn some more on.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Life isn't all about efficiency, Craig.
No.
I take the most efficient bath of any man. 7 or 8 minutes tops, and I'm in and out.
By the way, this was my first bath of the... I've taken showers. I only take showers. This is the first time I've stretched out in a bubble bath all year. It was exciting.
It was very bubbly, too, I noticed.
Oh, there's jets.
Our text from the 224 seems just angry at everything. So that is the only voice we've heard so far. I don't know.
They
the
need, words a
they've said. Need a bubble bath.
Yeah, 224, get in the bubble bath.
What could they possibly... They're angry about talking about bubble baths?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this text is directed at us, but there's a lot of mean words in it.
You know, a bubble bath, a bath is a bit wasteful.
And from the 708, thanks for ruining my bath. I don't know how we did that.
Oh, probably doing dishes, I think, because...
Oh, the dishes, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or because we're soaking in it. Soaking in our own juices. Talking about that. See, that's the thing.
You do not soak in juices. If you soap correctly and then you shampoo and everything, the juices are all going and they're done and then you're out.
Where are they going? They're going nowhere. It's like the tub.
They're in the water.
Other parts of the tub that I'm not in.
What? How big is your
tub? Yeah, what is it? Oh, you're thinking of a swimming pool.
Are there dividers? Do you have like lanes in your tub?
Yeah, I have like filters. No, it's just the one, but they're not, like, it doesn't stick to me and it's, I don't know.
Are you bathing in bleach? Did it just chemically removes all the oil as it goes?
If you have to get up and take a full-on shower after a bath, what is the point of a bath?
I mean, I do because I feel weird. Mm-hmm. I feel a rinse is not enough.
I feel lovely.
And so you should. We are not taking away. We're just saying for us, we feel as though it's still we're still in our own gloop.
Got it. And the 312 is saying that they're unable to see you online, Patty. That is because she's in Los Angeles.
I am. But if you go to my Facebook page, my personal page is the one where, my Instagram, if you go to Patty Vasquez with WGN Radio, I think it's Patty Vasquez, WGN Radio, you can see the bubble bath.
Oh, nice. There you go. And none of us are in a bath now, though. So.
No.
No, I'm actually in a foyer I'm kneeling in front of a closet. This is the only place. Usually, when I broadcast from this house in L.A., from Mark DiCarlo's home and Yenny Alvarez's wonderful abode, I have a whole office that I can use and spread out. But for some reason, I think they've had some electrical work done, and that's not working. Neither is the one in their office. They also have a recording studio here. That's not working. I am crouched in front of a closet in front of their router because that's the only. I'm serious. Wow. I'm on my knees.
Oh man!
And
it's very glamorous with with the bubble bath and then
that
just right down.
Hey,
to the...
how quickly we fall.
Mm-hmm. from the 815, snap out of it, Craig. Bubbles soak, relax, shave, loofah off dead skin, then of course shower.
There
after.
We go.
Yep, that's.
Do you see?
Yeah, when you do
this
that stuff, you have to.
Who is the other female voice besides Patty 312? That is Esmeralda Leon.
Esmeralda.
Hi.
Who's
here
all the time.
We should go around the horn
here
a
all
bit.
The time.
Every show
meeting
we
James Vickery, who is usually back and forth from Los Angeles to Chicago, has a lovely wife who lives in California. They have a perfect relationship. They see each other, then they don't. See,
exactly.
I think that's why my husband and I are getting along so well. See ya. I'll be right back.
Going to the store. I'm in Los Angeles.
I'll be right back. Ooh, time for me to go. And Esmeralda Leon in traffic. And we have Rob Martier up in news. Craig Collins is our producer. And our engineer tonight is Aubrey. I think we got everybody that you can see on the live stream.
Yeah, that's everybody.
Except for me.
Yeah. Well, they can't see any of us, actually.
Let me see if I can get a picture of me kneeling.
None of this is live streamed. They're actually seeing. If you live stream tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Unfortunately, if you watch the live stream tonight, you will just see an empty showcase studio. That is in honor of Patty, though, because she's not here.
Oh, there you go. That's weird. That's sad. It's actually, this is the way it works out best. It's for the technical aspect
and
of the show.
And that too. That part too.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm broadcasting from a Comrex in front of a closet. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live from Los Angeles in our Allstate Showcase Studio West, downtown in Chicago on Michigan Avenue in our Allstate Showcase Studio in the Tribune Tower. Comedian James Vickery joins us, Esmeralda Leon in traffic, Rob Martier in news, Craig Collins, our producer, and we have Aubrey running the show, our engineer. And we were talking a little bit about bubble baths. Did we put people off to bubble baths? Are people angry that we're talking about? I mean, James, it's a bubble bath. We just have different opinions on
people
how,
seem
three
happy.
Of us are have one opinion, and Craig has a different one.
From the 219, after the smoking comment the other day, and now talking about a bath, yow.
What smoking comment?
Yeah, what was
I'm not sure. They just put smoking in quotes.
Oh,
apparently
there you go.
Some kind of smoking comment.
Okay,
can we all agree, though, with a bubble bath when you get in the tub and you fill it, and then you're sitting there in the warmth, and then you hear that weird drain thing on top going, taking all the water away?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the worst?
It's over. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, no, because it's that thing, to, I guess, so you don't flood the bathroom, I'm assuming.
The overflow kind of valve.
Is that
valve,
what that
right?
is? I don't know. It's the annoying thing. I want to just...
It's the tub monster, right? That's what I was just thought of.
Tub monster.
Yeah, the tub monster. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just wish it didn't exist in my tub ever. That's all. Can we all agree it's the worst thing ever of a bubble bath?
I will agree, yes, because you have posited as the worst thing ever.
The
I will
worst
support
thing
you.
Ever.
Worst
it is, because you're sitting in the
ever.
Warmth, and then you can slowly feel the water getting lower and
make
lower.
Make the sound. You want to make the sound a little bit, don't you?
Which is why you have to finish cleaning yourself and then get out.
No, then you're sitting there contemplating life.
It's a good timer for you to know, okay, now I'll get out.
Do you guys put your head under the water?
Yeah. If I'm feeling playful, if I'm feeling like I want to do a little scuba diving. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm at the coral reef doing a little scuba diving. Sure.
I pretend I'm Juliet from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, there you go.
Me?
From the 606, I'm not a rich man, so I just use an aquarium air pump for my major bubbles in the tub. Nice.
I don't have one either. I have a very small bathtub at home, which is why I don't. And it doesn't drain very well, so if I did take a bath, it would take forever. And then it does leave all that stuff behind because it takes so long. So I don't. I think I've bathed. We've lived there for 15 years. I've maybe done a bubble bath twice ever. So only when I'm on the road, I'm visiting somebody. I'm with my hosts who have a Oh my gosh! Tomorrow the hot tub, by the way, outside. James, you've picked a weird time to go back to Chicago.
I know. 48, cold, rainy.
Oh, by the way, James, when you're in L.A. Mm-hmm. and you see celebrities, mm-hmm. where are you now in this cycle of celebrity spotting? Because it's more frequent out here.
Yes, I see it a lot. I approached my first celebrity recently.
And who did you approach?
Ron Livingston, you know, Office Space.
Yes. I love him.
Me
so
too.
Cute.
I'm a big fan of his, and I saw him at a coffee shop I frequent. And it worked out that I was kind of passing him at the same time, and I said, hey, I'm a big fan of yours, and I reserve that for when I really mean it. And he said, that's very kind of you. And
aww,
then I stood there until he asked me to leave. No.
That was awkward. That
no. But he did say very kind, and yeah, so that was it. But normally, yeah, I do see a lot.
You avoid. Well, I got my Brazilian, and I decided to treat myself because I was walking in Santa Monica on 4th, and I saw a place called the Sugarfish, which I have heard about. It's a famous sushi place.
I've been there a couple times.
It's great. Mm-hmm. So I walked in, and they invited me to sit at the bar, and they actually pointed to the seat they wanted me to sit in, which was weird. There were four seats. There was a gentleman at the corner of the bar, and then they left two seats in between us and invited me to the corner seat. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe they just want to make sure if someone else comes in, they can have those two seats. Whatever.
Right.
And my waiter, my server behind the bar was great, walked me through the menu, was very friendly. And then he turned to the gentleman next to me and said, this is courtesy of the chef. He says he's a big fan of yours. And I look over and I'm like, what? And then my heart starts racing. It was Dave Chappelle.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's a good
one. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, be cool, be cool.
Oh, wow.
And like, I'm, you know, be cool, Patty, be cool, be cool. So first I take, and I'll post it soon, but I took a selfie of myself with him in the background,
mm-hmm.
like that moment that you realize you're sitting next to Dave Chappelle, and he's on the phone. There's a couple where he's looking away. I may have taken a bunch. And then I try to be cool and just take pictures of my sushi and my sashimi. And then the waiter talked to him. He was about to settle up. I heard him talking. Just, you know, that's when you really know. Like, first you're going through and going, is my brain matrixing a black guy and thinking it's Dave Chappelle?
Right.
And I'm like, how weird would it be if it's not? And he was really buff. Like, his muscles are showing through the shirt. So he starts talking. I'm like, dude, it's Dave Chappelle. In my head, I'm like screaming. So I just very casually say, hey, do you get a chance to drop into Wiley's anymore?
Oh, in Ohio?
Goes, yeah, Wiley's in Dayton is one of the clubs that he would just go work on material. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, how do you know about Wiley's? And I said, I'm a stand-up comic. And we started talking, and it was great.
Really?
And I felt silly because I was telling him, you know, I have a radio show, and I'm trying very hard not to give him my L.A. resume. Like, I'm trying not to have that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then I tell him, he asked me what I'm out here for, and I said, well, I've sold a show to ABC. They didn't shoot the pilot, but we're working on, you know, keeping it alive. And he goes, oh, people don't realize how hard that is to do, to sell a show. And I was like, Dave Chappelle's telling me it was fantastic. And
wow.
We talked a little bit about Chicago comedy. He said it was something he never really cracked the code of Chicago comedy, like getting in with the clubs mostly, like early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird hearing a superstar.
Right.
I mean, any club would die for him now. Talking about, you know, getting in. You and I are always knocking on those doors and sending countless emails. And to hear Dave Chappelle say he never cracked the Chicago comedy code was so bizarre. You know, because it was surreal. And he was very kind. And he asked me for my card.
Wow.
And I gave him my card and said I would love to have him on my show whenever he is available. I did not get his number for any celebrity.
Why not?
But I know, I didn't ask him. That was too much. And I didn't take a selfie with him. That would have been too dorky. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. And back home in Chicago, I'm really excited. And I'm sad that I can't see our guests. We have Frank Nahl and Matthew Gall in studio. They are the stars of the play New Country at the Den Theater. I'm going to go ahead and read this quick little synopsis because I love this. Good old bad boy and country music star Justin Spears has the world on its knees. Tomorrow he's tying the knot, but tonight he's tying one on with his entourage of ruthless managers, faux fans, and friends, and his favorite pig farming uncle. Hey guys, how are you doing tonight?
Hey Patty.
Pretty good, thank you.
You sound so mellow. Do you feel like this is a very intense and intimate play that you are doing? Frank, do you feel, because you start this whole thing, you and our good friend Will Klinger's on stage, just the two of you, you're on the phone, you aren't talking to each other. Do you kind of feel like you have to conserve your energy when you're not doing this very intense play?
No, there's no way you can conserve your energy. You just got to hit the road running and just keep going as fast as you can. Go ahead.
It's a lot. You have a lot of fast talking stuff. It's such a great character that we both recognize and also see something new from. We've kind of seen movies and television and plays where there's that relationship between the manager and the star, mm-hmm. but this is so, the sort of journey that you take us on is great. What were your thoughts when you read the play the first time from Mark Roberts?
The first time I read the play, it was like, as how difficult actually a role it is, because you kind of have to be the audience at some points, because Will's character gets a little carried away, and the things he says can be, if you're not reacting to them like a normal person would, then you just become a couple, buttheads standing up there, and nobody's going to find that funny.
Well, that's an interesting point that you make, and I talked to Mark about this as well. Craig and I saw the play last week. I have mm-hmm. seen it twice.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, I'm a little sad that I won't see it one more time before you guys close, because I saw something different each time. Even sitting in a different spot was really – and there was an understudy one night as well, and that was an interesting thing too. But when Will has a few lines talking about, one, his pairing, the woman that he's going to be in the Craig, what were your thoughts with the description Will was giving of the woman he would have to the pairing that he was very upset about?
I don't think I want to give a lot of thoughts on that. I might have chuckled, I may not have, but it was it was interesting.
I'm so
curious.
Frank,
how do you decide when the other character is going to say things like, I hope she gets pregnant and has a kid, and I hope it's a special needs kid, because there's a gasp every time, I'm guessing.
It's not necessarily every time, but it's also one of those.
It's almost every time.
Yeah. Well, Mark likes to say it's that when you mention something like that, if the audience actually laughs, then they're ready for the rest of the play that's coming, because it's kind of a touchstone.
It's dark.
Yes, of the darkness that's going to come later. Yeah.
I have a child with special needs, and so for people who are like, there are people like that who exist. When I saw the movie, the Wall Street movie, there was that line where they talk about wanting to just put let the special needs kid out, and if they have one, they would just let it go out into the forest and let it fend for itself. I know there are people like that, so you had to have been, you have to play that as, this is who this guy is.
Well, yeah. It takes a delicate touch, you know what I mean? You can't just throw it out there in a harsh way, because then it does become something different than what we are actually trying to achieve, which is to entertain as well.
Yes, and it is all very matter of fact. I think that, and Matthew Gall playing Justin Spears, it's so intimate in that space. I really buy, it's weird to talk to you because I really buy that you're like this, that everything has to be your way, and whatever sacrifices other people have made for you don't matter anymore. What was that like for you?
I've played a lot of characters who are less than savory in the past, and so there's plenty to draw on in the past. but frankly, I guess the simplest way to answer that question is, you follow the impulses that are most immediate to you. What do you want? Well, I want this. I want it now.
Right.
No, it's amazing the way in which Matthew does that, because as you were just saying a second ago, Patty, in the beginning of the play, we were introduced to a lot of characters who are not totally likable people. There's a lot of things about them that, this person is saying this and this person is doing this. As soon as Justin walks in, I actually like everyone else and dislike him so much more because of how profoundly well he
completely
does
offsets
that.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes.
He's kind of this dark hole that the rest of the characters kind of circle around. Yes. Makes him a little more savory.
Right, and he's the one, pushing and pulling pretty much all the action around him. Even when he's not on stage, everybody's talking about it. Everything seems to be revolving around him. So he's clearly had a mostly negative impact on pretty much everybody in the room. Even the people to whom he's brought huge financial success really hate his guts.
Yeah. Oh, and there's some deliciousness to that, the way that changes throughout, in the moments that you come in and leave and then come back again, just the elements that we go through. Some of them are shocking. Some of them are so the revelations are fantastic. You guys do such a great job. Mm-hmm. What is it like having the audience so close on both sides of the stage?
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, no, it does. It makes you really concentrated, and so you can't. There is, like Matt just said, there's no place to hide. So you have to stay in that world and focused on that world and the people that are immediately surrounding you, and I think it makes for great theater, which is kind of Chicago style, which is, I think, what Mark was looking for when he tried to bring the show here.
And in addition to that, when you have so many people that physically close to you, after only a couple of minutes of settling yourself in the world of this play in the hotel room where it's set, everybody in that theater is in the hotel room with you.
Yes.
There's a very unique relationship that you get to have with an audience in a space as small as that. And I don't know if I could put it to words other than to say it's a very unique, special relationship that pretty much dictates how the play will go.
Mm-hmm. And the night that Craig and I were there, someone's cell phone started.
Oh, you were there that night. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. We remember.
Yes, and Mark, they were across the stage from me, and mm-hmm. Mark said he was trying to hold for a few moments yeah. to yeah. get hoping that they would turn it off. Ugh. And
then
Craig, you and I were watching. Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
It was like it's like Mark held for like a reasonable amount of time for somebody to fumble out their phone and like turn it off, but this guy first tried to play it off like, where's that coming from? You know,
yes.
Well, looking around.
That's the disadvantage of the tiny theater is as soon as you reach for the phone, everybody in the room knows it's you.
Yeah.
And I think which is what took him so long.
Well, and then he tried, and he was very physical about trying to like shove it off on the woman, mm-hmm. his girlfriend or wife.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. He was not a nice person. Yeah.
Sounds like he fit right into the
yeah, there. He fit right into the world there, yeah. I guess he was watching too closely.
He was despicable immediately. It was so loud that I was convinced it was a sound cue. Even though I'd seen it before, I was like, oh, I don't remember there being music here.
I was on stage and I thought for a second it was a botched sound cue. Yeah. I thought it was just a sound cue I'd never heard before.
And it was at such an
interesting... It couldn't be that loud and that long if it wasn't
ours. I want to know what cell phone he had. I can never get mine to be that loud.
It was at such an interesting moment in the play, too, where one of the characters is giving this kind of touching, and it was sort of music that kind of almost fit with that.
Yes.
So it was very confusing.
That's actually what confused me about him. Is this just something I haven't noticed?
Am I so wrapped up in my character
the whole time?
You play your character.
Is Mark
so
messing
well
with us?
Yes. Yes. Is there like some musical undertone to this sad story all of a sudden?
How often are you that uber aware? I mean, that's a clear moment where you are trying so hard to stay in the moment, and yet something on the outside, an exterior influence, is having an effect on you. How often have you had that experience in this run because of the proximity
well,
of the audience?
Quite a lot. You know, even somebody shifting in their seat at a quiet moment is something that you notice, mm-hmm. is something that you react to.
And there was like someone with jelly beans like last week sometime. Somebody had like a bag of jelly beans and just like spilled them on the floor at the quietest moment possible. They had all night. She probably congratulated herself on how quietly she'd opened the bag and had her jelly beans to eat. And then she just like dumps the entire bag of them on a wooden platform like a drum.
And you can hear every single one drop.
Yes, yes. It is like God, everybody knows who did it.
And it's so different, Patty. Like for us as a comedian, you could comment on these things. Mm-hmm. But if you're acting in a play, you just have to.
We just have to take it.
Yeah, I know.
There was another guy who had like, he got on the front row tonight.
Yeah,
he
just
got
tonight.
Like a muscle cramp or something, and he had to jerk his leg, and he almost wound up on stage with
us. His leg kind of spazzed out, and it was at the same moment that the cell phone went off the night you saw it.
Mm.
It was at that same pivotal, dramatic crux of the play.
I might come this weekend, and I'm leaving my cell phone in the car. Like, I'm not even chancing it.
Excellent.
Off isn't enough.
Yes,
no,
James,
keep it away.
You will love this. You must go see New Country. It's so good, and it's so in our wheelhouse as stand-up comics because we love, we do straddle that line of the relationships that we have and observations and dark humor, and Mark Roberts really kills it, and the performances are really out of this world. It's just, I was loving it, and there was a weird moment because I know Will, and I thought, I was like, oh, did he just make eye contact? And I was like, oh, I'm such a narcissist. Like, Will knows that I'm in the audience.
Yeah, but the answer is probably yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes, Will. Was it good? Is Patty here?
Yeah.
Is Patty here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. Worried there for a minute.
Well, when you took your bows, he waved at me. I was like, oh, yes. It is. It's such a great performance, such a great show. Let's take a quick break here and talk a little bit more. But this is running through this weekend. Sunday's their last show. They've got shows Thursday through Sunday.
Saturday night's our last show.
Saturday night?
Saturday. Yes,
you've taken away a show
right,
from us.
Yes, he did.
What?
Yes, he did.
We've got three left. Thursday night, Saturday night. I'm sorry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, they're all at 7:30.
Last call, everybody. This is a great show. Every time I've been there, it's been amazing. And I'm so sorry I won't see it before you guys close. You can go to, what's the website? I don't have that in front of me. I apologize.
It's newcountrytheplay.com.
newcountrytheplay.com. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets. It's really great.
There's everything on there. There's all the info about the play, the cast, the crew, and a direct link to the website with the tickets.
It's one of the best shows in Chicago right now. I mean, I haven't seen the rest, so I have to go. I have to go on my own assumption, my own taste. But I loved it. More after this with our friends Matthew Gall and Frank Nahl from New Country, the play. More on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting.
Out?
What was that?
You're on the
broadcasting.
Air.
We're on the air, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio West in Los Angeles, and really sad that I can't be in studio with a good friend of the show, James Vickery, who splits his time between Chicago and Los Angeles, and our guest, Frank Nahl, and Matthew Gall, who are both stars of the play New Country. You can go to newcountrytheplay.com. There are six performers, so you're all the stars. I mean, this is an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's really, every single character is so distinct. Every entrance, even from the beginning, I know it's Will and Frank on stage first, and then every entrance is just every entrance is unique in its own way. But let me ask you this, Frank. First, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Arkansas.
Oh,
yes, the Ozarks, Eureka Springs, Arkansas, little Switzerland of the Ozarks.
Why is it Switzerland?
It's because it's almost as old as Chicago because it had all the natural springs. So during the almost Victorian times, people would come there to bathe and drink of the natural springs instead of going to the doctor.
Right. I have the vapors. I have to go to the Ozarks.
Exactly. And bathe in the springs.
Okay, here's a question for both of you, since we were talking about this in the last half hour, and I'm going to get personal now before I ask Matt where he's from. Do either one of you take bubble baths?
Oh, I haven't
let's really get into it.
A long time.
No. Can't remember the last time, though.
The last time you took one, if you had to guess, do you think you showered after, or do you think you felt clean enough after you washed in the bubble?
No, I felt clean enough after. It's actually when England is the last one I think I had. It's been a while ago. So
you felt substantially clean post-bath that you needed no shower.
Well, I might have used a bar of soap as well as the bubbles, though.
Right, of course.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I mean,
yes.
Sure.
I didn't just like
there
it bubbly
Craig.
Clean.
I know I'm not alone here. I know I'm not the only one who doesn't need a shower after
you
a bath.
You found the one other person.
The one other guy.
Who needs a shower after sitting there laying in a pool of
I do.
A tepid pool of your
And so does James.
Wait a minute. His question wasn't real.
Oh, my God.
He had an answer to it.
See, you get where we're coming from. All the stuff that you've soaped off of yourself is now stewing in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, not that I know Frank very well, but I get the idea that maybe he's like me too, and he doesn't bathe for an hour. This is more like a 10-minute, 15-minute thing.
Yeah, I'm not looking to slough off, you know, like a couple layers of epidermis while I'm in there. So I kind of get in.
You're not pruning?
Yes, no, right. No. Just want to get the surface layer clean.
We will now ask every guest on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez if they bathe, how they do it, and if they need a shower.
A scientific study is definitely called for.
Oh, I agree completely. Oh my! I bet you there is a study about this. How clean are you after a bath? And
it's
do you need a shower?
It's probably not very
clean.
Yeah.
See? Thank you, Matthew.
There's an anti-bath crowd.
I refuse to Google that. I refuse to Google it and figure out.
We are not an anti-bath crowd. We're just an anti-bath only crowd.
Okay.
I
believe. Oh yeah. Well,
I think that would be. Yeah. And Matthew, where are you from originally?
I grew up in New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, a little bit north of Boston.
So I am thrown because we're not in studio. I don't have to hang out with you in person because the accent that you use, it's a little jarring for me.
That's right.
You do
that's
such
right.
A great job.
The Nashville accent for the show. Yeah, a little bit different than from where I grew up. I grew up with a pretty dirty Boston accent. So,
and you don't have that now. Is that something that you worked on?
No, I had it as a kid. My mom was an English teacher, and she refused to let her kids have dirty regionalisms because she was an actor when she was younger too. And So she made sure that we didn't go out of the house with any of that.
It involves small bats, switches, pots and pans.
That's right.
Suddenly their speech became much clearer.
Yeah. All of a sudden they're like,
it was wicked hard at first, but we started to learn.
Well, I look forward to having you guys both on the show again. I wish you the best of luck through the rest of your... Well, I shouldn't say that. I forget these things. My mother would always say before I did a show, go break your legs. Have fun with the rest of this run, but we look forward to seeing what other projects you're working on after this. Again, go to newcountrytheplay.com for your tickets. There are 3 shows left, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all at 7:30. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Be well. Absolutely. That's Frank Nahl and Matthew Gall. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles, back home in Chicago in the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue in our Allstate Showcase Studio proper. We have James Vickery, one of our best friends of the show, and he's a comedian, back home in town for some shows. And the weather, the wonderful weather, James. I'm sure that's why you've come back.
Absolutely, the main reason always.
Yeah. And the pizza. We'll talk about that later. Esmeralda Leon in traffic. We have Craig Collins. And on the line with us is Rich Lankoff to talk about a lot of the legal news, that everyone's talking about this week. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Good, Patty. How are you? I'm just getting out of the bath right now, so you'll have to.
Okay.
And you are, Rich, getting out of the bath without a shower, correct?
I showered before, then I took a bath, now I'm showering again. After the story of my filth, I'm about the whole process.
Well, it's good to know. I like the 3-step process that you have. Well, because, okay, Craig, now there's an interesting point. If you shower before the bath, you have then removed all the sludge, the, environmental pollutions, the sweat, any other things that may have built up on your body, then perhaps I could see stewing in your own stuff.
That makes sense.
I'm okay with that.
We're thinking about it. I'm inspired to change our show from Legal Face-Off to In the Tub with Rich and Jason. The two of us, instead of debating in the studio, we'll just be in a tub together discussing legal issues. Kind of like
I think the downloads for that show will just go through the roof, no doubt about it.
Remember the Simon Show, Mike Myers, on SNL back in the day? Where he was young. Yeah, we might do something like that.
I like that. And by the way, he's talking about his lesser partner, Jason White. Jason Whiteside, is that his name? I can never remember.
Allegedly.
From Legal Face-Off. Yes, we don't want to be held accountable or liable for anything that might be said in truth or in jest. How's that? Does that cover me legally?
That sounds good.
All right, then. I appreciate that. My lawyer has told me I've been advised that that's okay.
Yes.
When this story hit with Dennis Hastert, the former Speaker of the House, a man who's a meteoric rise to power. I mean, at one time he was one of the most powerful men politically in this country, went from wrestling coach to, serving in public office. And now it seems, and he has admitted to and apologized for being basically a serial molester of young boys. Have you been following? I mean, when this story first broke, what were your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, as surprised as anyone that someone, like you said, that close to power. I mean, he was 2 heartbeats away from being the most powerful man on earth, right? So shocked. This was a surprise to all of us. He always seemed like, sort of the epitome of Midwest values. He was beloved in his hometown of Yorkville, wrestling coach. All that kind of good stuff. So, sure, I don't think anyone would have seen it coming that he would be a sexual predator. So very shocked.
Have you heard anything about, because even Andy Richter from Conan O'Brien's show has said that it was weird that the coach would have a recliner, by the boys' showers. Have you heard anything about people, there being rumors or someone tried to come forward and it just never got any traction? Were there ever people trying to get attention brought on the charges brought against the former Speaker of the House?
No, it was really sort of a conspiracy of silence. There's a great piece in Chicago Magazine about 6 months ago. We had the author of it on the show. I forget his name now, But he did a great piece about the, again, almost conspiracy of silence that people in Yorkville and the surrounding community had. I mean, there were people who were aware of this. There's no question. I mean, this went on, you know, for an extended period of time. People were aware of it, but they just did not come forward just because I think the nature of the community, you know, Yorkville is a very small community. It's grown by leaps and bounds over the last 20 years, but traditionally a small community on the outskirts of Chicago. Everyone knew Denny Hastert. Everyone loved him. And I think there were people who were aware that this was going on, but just did not come forward because of a variety of reasons. You see this all the time in sexual abuse cases. The victims don't want to come forward for fear of reprisal, for fear of shame, for embarrassment. And people around them don't want to come forward because a lot of them don't want to believe it. A lot of them want to write it off. Listen, I was in a cab today on my way to Dirksen to cover the, you know, to cover the sentencing hearing. And my cabbie, I was talking to him, and he said, the sentence is too harsh. That 15 months is too harsh. They should have let him off because of all the good he did for Illinois.
No.
And that's, listen, that's a cabbie who has no connection to Denny Hastert. Right. Imagine people in Yorkville who benefited from 30 years of all of the, you know, pork and all of the, you know, money that he would bring back to the district. So it's not hard to understand why people would remain silent, even though it's shocking to think that you wouldn't come forward. I think that's why.
Well, is the sentence of 15 months, was that surprising? Because I know that at first they thought the news was, you know, from the first announcements, they thought it was going to be a supervision. But it sounds as though the judge had a conversation before handing down the sentence. Is that what happened?
Very surprising. I mean, probably the most surprising part of today, and again, I was down there, as was, you know, I mean, there was everyone in the world down there today. The most surprising part of today was that Judge Durkin sentenced Denny Hastert to 15 months in jail, which was more than three times what the federal prosecutor, Zach Farden, had recommended. Usually in these cases, there's an agreement to sentencing, which was, in this case, 6 months. The United States prosecutor, again, Zach Farden, had agreed to 6 months. He had worked out this agreement. We all thought that he would get 6 months, understanding that the judge can exceed that. Of course, he has the discretion to exceed that, but we thought this was a done deal. Well, next thing we know, after a very lengthy, unusual 45-minute discussion by the judge, he hands him a sentence of 15 months, which in retrospect is the right thing to do. But because, remember, this was only a case dealing with Denny Hastert's violation of federal banking laws. It wasn't a case about his sexual abuse because that statute of limitations has run. Well, Judge Durkin, to his credit, said this was about the sexual abuse. And I would sentence you to a longer sentence if I could, but I'm going to give you the maximum amount that I could in my discretion. I'm going to include the fact that you lied to investigators, you lied to the federal government, and he gave him 15 months. So to answer your question, it was very surprising.
And in that capacity, as the judge saying, you know, saying that it is about the, you know, your serial molestation of young boys. Because I, you know, is that common for a judge to say you're being charged with this, but I, because it's related to this, because you did this in order to cover up your really heinous behavior, and I can't go after that because of the statute of limitations. Is that something that happens in cases like this?
In every case is different. This is obviously a really unusual case, really high profile case. You don't often see, you know, 3.2 million or 3.7 million, whatever the figure was, in hush money being paid for sexual abuse that happened 25 years prior. So really unusual case. It can happen. I mean, the judge, especially in federal court, have wide latitude, wide discretion to, you know, do what they want within sentencing guidelines and often beyond those. So it wasn't completely unusual, but what was a surprise was the amount of time that he gave him. Again, right. Because we thought that this was limited to the bank fraud case, which usually is a slap on the wrist, which usually wouldn't carry any prison time at all. I mean, remember, this was about someone withdrawing money from their own account and just doing so in a manner that alerted the FBI. I mean, there are rules about withdrawing the money, but at the end of the day, listen, it's his own money, and it's a really it's sort of a technicality that he didn't alert the federal government. What raised the stakes in this case, obviously, was what he was withdrawing the money for.
Well, again, so there's a banking fraud case, and he's been, the judge has clearly said, I'm going for the maximum that I can in my role. But now the other case that's coming out of this is the gentleman who was, I mean, this was a blackmailing case, right? In order to be quiet and not come forward and share this story, he's now suing for the rest of the money. Is that right?
Exactly true. And you've put it well. I mean, it's unusual, right? For it's almost an extortion case. Denny Hastert has said that this is extortion. Yet, you know, he's been paying it. And the civil suit that was filed on Monday in Kendall County, or it might have been King County, is for the victim, one of his victims, to recover the balance of what he says Denny Hastert agreed to pay him. There was this deal to pay, again, it was either $3.2 or $3.7 million, of which Denny Hastert has paid about half. And he is now being sued by one of the victims to recover the additional money. The allegation is that he and Dennis Hastert had an oral agreement to pay this money, and Denny Hastert has not lived up to his end of the bargain. He hasn't paid the full amount, so he's being sued to recover that additional amount.
Does the fact that he admitted to molesting him and molesting all these boys, will that affect the ability of this young man, or this man, to recover the rest of the money?
For sure. I mean, I think that it's clear now. You know, if there was any doubt before today, it's clear now in open court before, you know, millions of people watching. Denny Hastert has admitted to sexually abusing more than one victim. So I think that it will be hard for him to defend the civil suit. It's clear that he did it. What, you know, the only defense he has in the civil suit is that there was no agreement to do it. There was nothing in writing. I don't know how he's going to win that case when he's already paid, you know, $1.5 or $1.7 million towards that agreement.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Now, and he's not well. He arrived at the courthouse in a wheelchair. 15 months is, you know, to me, it just this case makes me so angry on so many levels. But most of all, for these victims, for these young boys whose childhoods were taken from them, and the fact that he did, you know, he covered that. He's a monster who, like you said, was two heartbeats away from being the most powerful man on earth. Which is ascending to the presidency, if anything had happened to the vice president or the president of the United States. This is just, it's just despicable to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off. It's despicable. And what's despicable, and you know, I was there today in court. He really didn't show much remorse. Yeah, I don't think he even understood it until Judge Durkin pressed him and asked him point blank, did you sexually abuse, you know, this victim? And he paused and said yes. But even when he said yes, I don't think he even understands the gravity of what went on. I mean, he seems to be in denial. He didn't seem to have any remorse. You know, he wheeled past me on the way to his car and just didn't seem like he understood what was going on. Not because he's mentally ill, not because he doesn't have the capacity. It just seems like, you know, he doesn't understand that what he did is one of the most despicable things you can do.
Again, you know, I'm sure that he's surprised because of what he was able to achieve, what he was able to cover up, and who knows how long this lasted. And you know, I don't know if we'll ever know, because this is something that people don't stop doing. So how many, you know, did he start paying for anyway? We don't want to go down this path. But the fact that he got away with this for so long and now only gets 15 months and really had such an impact on our country politically just is just an awful thing to even reflect on. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Just a little bit.
How you doing, James?
I'm good.
Now I need a bubble bath. See? This is. I knew this conversation was coming. We were talking to Rich Lenkov. He is our favorite half of. And again, when I meet Jason Whiteside, I'll never be able to claim that, Rich. So you better, you know, keep me away from him, because I don't like playing. I don't like playing favorites for people I know. See, I probably shouldn't. Now I feel guilty. All right, I'll straighten it all out during this break. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining us in studio is James Vickery. And James, I have a question for you as a comedian, as an artist. I mean, neither you or I will ever ascend. Let's just be honest. We'll never achieve the level of greatness that Prince did. Do you have
okay,
a will?
Thanks.
So, like, let's just say, I'm sorry, James. I'm going to go ahead and put it out.
Weird, just putting us all out there.
Yeah, wow. We're long into our careers. That's
James
a star.
Is also
that's
dressed in full purple. So,
yeah, exactly.
I think he's going for the exact prints.
That there's nobody that will ever achieve the kind of artistry that Prince achieved. Do you have now, Rich Linkov? Maybe you can help us in drawing up wills and managing our estates. But do you have a will?
I think about it. I have been thinking about it the last couple of years, and I do not.
Rich, how much trouble are we in if we don't have wills? Even if we're we don't have $300 million estates and a whole vault of unreleased music or stand-up comedy in our case.
It depends how safely you drive home tonight after the show.
Okay.
Okay. I guess I'll pay attention this time.
No. People don't want to do this, do they? They don't want to think about it. And it's the one thing we're all going to do is die.
It's a definite.
Got to have a will. I mean, you're basically saying that when you die, you don't care about any of the assets that you've accumulated in your life, and you're going to turn that over to the government to decide, right? I mean, in this case, Prince does not have a will, apparently.
Wow.
Although we don't know that for sure. His sister has said that, but she might not know. But let's assume that Tyka Nelson is correct and he doesn't have a will. Well, then the state takes over. And like in most states, Minnesota will appoint someone to decide who gets what. You know, there are laws about who gets what, and generally it goes to, siblings, wife, children, that kind of thing. Especially for someone like Prince, who has an estimated $300 million estate, it's important for his wishes to be followed. If he doesn't write those wishes down or tell anyone, then no one's going to know about them.
I have the $300 estate you referenced, so we'd probably
300 million.
Right. 300. Oh, okay. Oh, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I hadn't heard this yet, actually, Patty.
And the thing is that the music that hasn't been released, like the family could, there, whether or not it's Minnesota law, as to what happens with unreleased music. I mean, that's something they have to deal with as well. When you get an executor, they have someone that's now going to be assigned to the estate, but that's from the government, as you mentioned, right, Rich?
Right. The state will appoint an executor to distribute the estate according to Minnesota law, which again will go to the sister. There's, I think, five half siblings, which in Minnesota are treated as full.
Okay, I gotta get it. Can you? Okay, what's the best way? I have half siblings who don't get nothing. I don't mean that in a mean way, but they ain't getting nothing. How do I? Is there a simple way? I mean, like, can you download a will? What's the best thing to do?
Should we just play this audio if they try to take any of Patty's stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Bonnie, Glenna, Jesus, Maria, nada para todo. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's not official. Rich, what can we do to make sure? I mean, can you download a will, or do you have to sit down with a lawyer and go over things?
Yeah, these things are not as expensive as you would think. I mean, it's best to sit down with a lawyer who understands estates and planning and, go over with them. But with the rise of things like LegalZoom and do-it-yourself, other do-it-yourself legal websites, you can download a will, a simple will, for, a very, very small amount of money, a couple $100 probably. I haven't looked at those websites too much because, by the way, I'm a professional lawyer.
Sorry. But, I know. But, I mean, or go to Rich Linkov. How do people hire you to do their estate?
I mean, we don't do – that's an area of law I don't cover.
There you go. This is why I'm saying. Since we can't go to you, right. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, yeah, those websites exist for sure, and they're designed exactly for the reason that you discussed. People don't want to spend, a couple $1,000 necessarily on a will. So, yeah, for sure, there are websites that you can access that would download, that would allow you to download a simple will. I mean, it's not complicated, right? Yeah. Most people don't have $300 million estates and purple purple vault to hold their music in. So most people, it's a pretty simple process. But for sure,
yes, it's hard to spend. Right. Well, it's hard to spend a couple thousand dollars on your will when your estate is worth a couple thousand dollars. Rich Lenkov, can you hang on for one more segment? I don't want to take too much of your time. You sure? Okay, because we got to do news and everything. So more after this with Rich Lenkov. If you have questions, 312-981-7200. It's pretty late. More after this. James, do you play any musical instruments?
I do not. I have no natural sense of rhythm.
Oh,
I'm super jealous of people that can. Can you?
No, I play no instruments. I've had a tambourine once in a while. I bought a guitar on the road one time with the hopes of learning how to play the guitar. Rich Lenkov, do you play any musical instruments?
No, I'm tone deaf. No. I sing a lot of I do a lot of live band karaoke, but I'm the worst singer in the world, but I have some liquid courage to help me get on stage. And once I'm on there, you cannot take the mic out of my hands. I'm going.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's great. What's a Rich Lenkov favorite at the live band karaoke?
So, man, I got that's hard to narrow. That's like asking me, you know, my favorite kid. I do a pretty mean Since You've Been Gone. That's my go-to jam.
Okay.
I do a pretty good. I do a lot of AC/DC. You know, a lot of
nice.
Hell's Bells.
Another One Bites the Dust. What do you got? Oh, Hell's Bells. That's nice.
You
good.
Shook me
good.
All
good.
Night long.
Yeah. I hate to put Rich on the spot, too, but I'm sure he can actually pick his favorite kid. I'm sure he can.
I feel like we've opened up a whole different door of Rich Lenkov's world.
Yeah, well, the
that.
Best was we were on the Disney cruise over Christmas, and, of course, they had karaoke, and my daughter and I did some, but it was all Disney. It was the whole playlist was Disney. So I did a pretty mean Prince Ali from Aladdin.
Oh, that's great.
I think I scared off every kid on the entire boat with my rendition of Prince Ali.
Did you surprise yourself with that particular performance? Or is it something you've done before?
No, I've been practicing that one for years, just waiting for a chance to unleash it on an unsuspecting audience.
You have to practice your live band karaoke in your bubble bath is what we're going to need some audio from.
Yeah, it's a whole new part of the show.
You'd be surprised how great that is for relaxing both, you know, the diaphragm, the vocal cords, and the acoustics in a bathroom, I think, are unbeatable.
And you will get out surprisingly clean without any need for a shower.
Report back to us on that. I have to ask you about a case that Craig brought to my attention about a lawyer who apparently, was it the lawyer that ate the evidence, Craig? Tell us a little bit about this story.
Correct. The lawyer, I believe, yes. Outside the courthouse of all places, decided to eat some evidence to help his case out. Rich, I know you're familiar with it. You saw the story. What do you think?
It's a guy in Russia, right?
Yes.
In the Autonomous Republic of Tuva, which are literally words that I don't think I'll ever say again in my life. But, he's seen on video studying papers in the office of a judge relating to his client, who was accused of causing an accident while drunk driving. And then suddenly he's seen picking up what turns out to be the breathalyzer report revealing the blood alcohol level in his client. He first puts it in his bag, and then it looks like he has second thoughts, takes it out, and decides to put it in his mouth and start chewing it.
There's video of it.
Right. I don't know if you're used to the objection, I ate that evidence, Judge. I don't think we can use that in court.
Objection, regurgitated evidence is a common one. The biggest crime, in my mind, when you look at this video, is not the fact that he ate the evidence, but the sweater he's wearing. I don't know what the dress code for attorneys is in the Republic of Tuva, but this blue striped sweater with arm patches, I mean, that to me warrants that's the biggest crime in my opinion.
I know it's not probably ethical what he did, but you do have to admire his commitment to his client. You know, that's I'm sure it's frowned upon.
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes in Tuva.
What is the wildest thing you've ever seen? You've been an attorney and seen a lot of different, you know, odd behaviors, I'm sure, in the courtroom. What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen a lawyer attempt to do in any case that you've been on? Like the opposing attorney or people you've worked with? And we don't have to name names, but I think you've seen some stuff.
What don't have to name names, but most of the incidents rhyme with the word bright side.
Fantastic.
But, I mean, you see a lot of weird, I mean, you see a lot of, like, fights, right? I mean, attorneys are just, you know, a lot of them are angry. A lot of them are you know, they get very emotionally involved. So you see a lot of fights. I mean, I've seen fist fights. I've seen attorneys led away in handcuffs. You see a lot of weird stuff. I mean, you see attorneys who really, you know, not to say that appearance means everything, but attorneys who show up in court looking like they just rolled out of bed. So yeah, you see a lot of weird stuff.
Well, I mean, why, you know, have you ever seen an attorney go to this extent, though, to these lengths, to, you know, have an impact on the outcome of a case? In this instance, consuming the evidence, which you have to figure they're going to have another, you know, copy of the breathalyzer report. It seems a little short-sighted.
Tad.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty extreme. You know, I've never seen an attorney eat evidence. I don't think I've seen an attorney destroy evidence. You know, those are obviously pretty significant things, and they would warrant, you know, pretty immediate sanctions and yeah, probably disbarment at some point. So, yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've seen anything that comes close to this, thankfully.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm now Googling attorney eats evidence to see if there are any cases in the United States where this has happened, but I'm having a little hard. It's mostly this case in Russia is obviously the one that's going to come up the most. It's going to have to go back a little bit. That's going to extremes. I mean, is there, you know, a sort of desperation when it comes to winning cases? You mentioned getting into fistfights and things like that. You must also hear, like, the most bizarre, whether it's closing statements or arguments or pleas to the judge. You know, when is that moment when you realize, oh, they are in quicksand?
You know, all sorts of different times in the case. I mean, I had a trial recently in Cook County, and I told the other attorney, I mean, not, you know, you try not to do it in a, you know, I'm very confident. You try not to do it in a, you know, totally a-hole way, for lack of a better term.
I told him, I like that.
Yeah, you know, I tried to tell him at the beginning of the case that, listen, it's really a bad case for you. Not a case you want to try, and if you do, you know, I'm gonna crush you.
Nice.
And you know, you try to let the attorney sort of save some face and maybe, you know, try to get out of it. Many attorneys just let their egos get in the way of common sense and get in the way of what the evidence shows. And you know, in this particular case, it turned out that he did lose pretty badly. You know, the point being, in that case, at all different points in that timeline, there was some desperation on his part, you know, appealing to the jury's emotions, appealing to anything but, you know, the plain evidence and plain common sense. So, yeah, you see, I mean, one of the most common things I hear from other attorneys, plaintiff's attorneys, when they're asking me to pay money on cases that I don't think are meritorious, that I think are frivolous, are, yes, but my client's a really nice lady. My client's a really good guy. As if that's going to convince me to pay money on an otherwise ridiculous case. Well, yes, right. I understand that your client is a faker and didn't really have an injury, but, oh, well, you say that she's a nice lady? Well, you should have said so. Then, you know,
I could have saved a lot of time.
I'll roll up the truck and pay whatever you want.
Right. That's sort of the short-sightedness. By the way, having Googled eating evidence, Florida cop faces jail for eating evidence documents in court during criminal case to protect informant. See, there you go. He's trying to protect somebody, and in court ate the evidence. So apparently this has happened in other places. There's also another case from 2000, from this year, earlier this year. Yeah, if you Google it, you can find other instances where in a legal case someone has eaten the evidence. That just seems... That's so sad. I feel bad for
Well, there was video I saw yesterday. There was a pitcher, I forget who it was, but in the bullpen, and they showed him eating a cup, like fully eating a plastic cup while he was watching the game. And it wasn't just like he was, you know, nibbling it. They showed a time, you know, time lapse, and after about 15 minutes, the entire cup was gone.
Oh.
So maybe it's a trend. Maybe
wow.
Eating evidence, eating yeah. cuffs, that's a new trend.
It's an attention getter. It's, you know, although there are disorders, there are psychological disorders that people have to eat things and maybe the stress of a court. I don't know. I'm just
I mean, if
to,
you're going to go to this level to eat evidence, why not do it in the courtroom dramatically when someone brings it like into question? Why not do it then?
Right.
Because that would really be like, no, what? I'm eating that now.
Yeah, that's a showstopper.
This evidence is so bad that I can't even get it down. It's such terrible evidence. I can't even eat it.
I sense a Rich Lankov dramatic courtroom moment coming, looming ahead of you. I need you to do that for us someday, just to eat the evidence and choke it down. Okay, we've gone down a weird way. We've been hanging out with Rich Lankov, and I appreciate your time tonight. We've covered a lot of ground, including the destruction of evidence through consumption. When can we catch your next WGN Plus podcast with the other guy?
Right now, just dropped a couple hours ago. We taped this afternoon. We covered all of the stuff we talked about on your show, except for the eating evidence and the bath. Mm-hmm. But we covered Denny Hastert extensively. We covered Prince. There was a Blake Shelton victory against In Touch magazine. We covered the bystander effect case, the young man who died last week.
During the Super Bowl Sunday, I believe he was in a fight.
The one outside of 7-Eleven, where he was lying on the ground and no one helped him, and he was eventually run over by a cab. So we had a psychiatrist on to discuss that, and of course we talked a lot about Tom Brady. So yeah, we had great stuff. It's available right now on iTunes and of course on WGN.
Well, check that out. Go to WGNplus.com for Legal Face-Off. It's Rich Lankov. Now I'm getting your name wrong. Rich Lankov and Jason Whiteside, the other guy. And we look forward to having you on again, perhaps next week. There's so many things that keep coming up.
Always. Thanks so much, Patty.
My pleasure. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio West in Los Angeles. And back in our Allstate Showcase Studio in the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue is our very own James Vickery. Esmeralda Leon's in traffic. We have Craig Collins. And I have a question for everybody. Esmeralda, are you a fan of the Chicken McNuggets?
McDonald's?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Wendy's better.
Yeah, Wendy's are good. Wendy's. Are they really? They're a little spicier, a little pepperier, isn't they?
It's that, and then it's just they seem meatier.
Yes.
They seem a little more right tender and meaty.
Interesting. James,
I like,
chicken McNuggets?
I do not like the McNuggets. I haven't had them in 20 years probably. But
really?
Yeah,
fast food?
Wendy's, and I do like their nuggets. Yeah, there's something specifically about the McDonald's chicken McNuggets. I think I heard Yeah, just not a fan.
Yeah.
Are you, Craig? Do you have some?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Why don't you want to talk about
because
it?
Because I love Wendy's chicken nuggets and I can't eat them anymore.
Yes, you can.
No,
you
I can't.
Peel the bread off.
Craig, there's a new recipe for the chicken McNuggets that we now have to try.
Okay.
Apparently, get this, they're simplifying the recipe.
Are they gluten-freeing it?
Oh, right. That's what Esmeralda was alluding to. I totally forgot.
I can't have those.
Do they have natural ones where it's just pieces of chicken?
Right. You guys, you keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm going to cry.
You can have burgerless. You can have bunless burgers. Right?
I could totally have a bunless burger.
Or lettuce wrapped.
Sounds lovely.
Lettuce wrapped.
Sounds so great.
I was at Jimmy John's and they have a sign for how you eat the lettuce wrapped sandwiches. Because apparently, I mean, it's not an easy task to eat something without the bread. And, I'm sorry, Craig. The bread.
No, it's fine. I'm going back to the KFC Double Down.
No, I like the Jimmy John's lettuce wrap thing.
Ooh, I'm going
to
try that.
I like it. It's just you can't. Yeah, you have to be careful because you might eat some paper.
Huh. Right.
Because you can't
Russian
take,
lawyer.
You can't, what? Oh, that's
might be
right.
Evidence. It's a breathalyzer
Maybe
report.
He thought it was just a Jimmy John sandwich.
That's right.
No, but you just have to, you have to carefully unwrap it because it's not one enormous piece of lettuce.
Right.
I think it's a couple.
Well, there you go, Craig. It's a couple of icebergs.
Yeah, that sounds
leaves.
So good.
I don't mind it. I like it.
I like
the chicken nugget does sound better now that we're simplifying it, apparently. It does sound like McDonald's is getting closer to the right, you know, the Wendy's nugget.
Do you think they'll go, like, there must be somewhere you can get gluten-free nuggets, right?
I bought some today at Target.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh.
I had some.
And have you tried them yet?
Yeah, I did. I ate them for dinner immediately.
How were they?
Right there in the Target.
Yeah. Completely frozen.
Didn't even defrost them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
They were okay. I think they were made with some sort of like corn thing, breading. I think it was corny.
Yep. You're going to be eating a lot of things with cornmeal.
Yeah.
Can you do almond? You can do almond flour.
Oh, that sounds
almond
nice.
Almond meal.
I'll get into
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, they were okay, though. They still taste like chicken nuggets. I dipped them in honey mustard. I, you know, had basically the same experience.
I got to Google gluten-free now. And
there is a tiny little gluten-free section in Target, by the way. It's like two freezers, and it was very nice to be in there. I had all my options in front of me. That was, for me,
you never need to venture out.
No.
Yeah.
I just go to that one section, buy everything in it, and then leave.
Here, look at this. When you Google gluten-free, you've got 21 gluten-free freezer meals for $150 that will rock your gluten-free world, Craig.
Yes! I want my world rocked.
Rock your gluten-free world.
I want it rocked. This is
the worst sentence in history.
Completely impossible.
That's really, I'm trying to, it's got to be so strange to like now, I mean, because you have to really rethink.
Everything
every
I eat, it's devastating, actually. On a daily basis right now, it is really, I have celiac disease.
Oh, okay, I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm not just on a gluten-free diet because I'm a jerk. But yeah, no, so every day
hey,
I come
now,
across
people
something that I ate
listening.
All the time.
But wait a minute, people who go gluten-free, then.
No, they don't have to be jerks for them. That makes sense. For
well,
me,
to
I'm
Craig,
not doing it.
Well, I think there is this, I think something's, a lot of people have a bad reaction to gluten or can, like you. Kristen's actually trying to give up gluten. But I think it became this thing where people think it's just automatically a healthy thing to do. But that's not necessarily the case. It's just some people.
I'm not trying to be trendy, I guess is the word that I should say. But yeah, I have to do it.
That's a rough.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google, now I'm going to Google gluten-free restaurants Chicago, and because there's a lot of restaurants that are really
catering. I mean,
Lumel Nardi's
does a gluten-free pizza. So.
Have you had it?
I have. Actually, I had it on New Year's Eve. It was lovely. I wasn't even gluten-free then, and I liked it.
That's right, because Steve King is gluten-free, has celiac disease as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you reached out to him and told him?
We're getting told every night that I need to talk to him, and actually I got a bunch of messages from some of the Pretty Late listeners and the old Steve and Johnny listeners that told me I need to reach out and figure out a bunch of the recipes. I guess Johnny was making recipes at one point and wanted to put it all into a book.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's the hardest thing for you to give up?
Everything? I mean, bread is pretty, it's everywhere. Bread is in a whole lot of stuff. So it's really hard to not have bread anymore.
That's,
Right. Yeah. I have gluten-free bread that I bought today. And I guess it's the same.
Gluten-free bread looks sad to me. You know, it does. It's like those little sad little squares.
The little aisle in Target is sad. It's just the two freezers, like I said. And I was standing there, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should get the burrito. Because it's, you know, the only gluten-free burrito that exists in the whole store.
So that was a yes, then,
yeah,
right?
That's
a big
yes. You're just going to have to eat tacos.
Right. Yeah, with corn.
Yeah, corn tortillas, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the restaurants that are the best gluten-free beer, bread, pizza, pasta available for diners in Chicago.
You essentially you can't eat bread, man.
Francesca's has
bread or
usually
pasta,
gluten-free.
Just don't eat it.
I am Italian.
Yeah,
I don't
too
know
bad.
If you've gone over this. Pasta for me is a side dish to most meals. That is the way that works.
Good luck.
Craig. Up by me, the Iron Horse Ale House in Norwood Park, which, by the way, is in the old post office that I used to go to as a child, has not only do they have gluten-free pizzas and pastas, it can be enjoyed with a gluten-free beer.
I'm going to live there.
There you go.
The Wild Bar and Restaurant in Lakeview. I'm just going through the list. Bartoma. Sounds like a great place to go as well. A lot of places with pizza are going gluten free. So I'm just telling you that there's a lot of great places out there that we should call them and ask them to bring in a gluten free menu.
Patty, to answer your question, my favorite fast food place is now where you're at out west, In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, now is that the place that has like the ones that you could ask for the special sauce or something?
Yeah,
they have a secret menu.
They do. Like I think it's called animal style or monster style. Animal.
Yes, it is animal style.
I don't like their fries.
You don't? Oh,
they're like matchsticks, dry little matchsticks.
Oh yeah, like shoestring fries or something.
Yeah, and I like a thin fry, but that was just no, thank you.
Nah, you're just wrong there. There's some things are right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole thing. Ooh. And it's perfect. It's good for driving. It's like designed to drive.
Yeah.
With
they have like that like a cardboard sleeve,
right?
Don't they?
Because you have to live in your car, right? When you're in LA,
exactly.
Oh God! Don't even get me started. I was in a Vince Moranto joke tonight, Craig and James and Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah?
The
time change,
the GPS. Yeah, the more I was driving, the longer it was taking me to get there. I was farther away. I didn't understand what was happening. I left my house at 45 minutes according to my GPS, and as I was there, it jumped to an hour and 15. I was like, I'm going in the direction of my destination, and I'm now farther away than when I started.
Yeah, don't trust. I never trust GPS times. I use that as a very loose time determiner.
And they're the worst drivers. Don't tell anybody, but they're the worst drivers in Los Angeles. Okay. I want to teach them all how to drive. I saw a student driver car go by, and I'm like, you're not doing a good job. we're going to have more. I'm sorry, go ahead, James.
Oh, no. Well, it's a tough place to learn to drive, I would think.
Oh my God, they're terrible. All the worst drivers in the country come here, in the world, I think. We'll have more conversation after the news. Give us a call anytime, 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio West. I'm in Los Angeles. Back home in Chicago, we have Esmeralda Leon, Craig Collins, James Vickery. I want to give everyone a heads up. I'm going to talk about a body part that I know really makes people nervous. It makes them get all hinky. They start getting the whims, and they feel like they've heard something horrible. I want to talk to you guys tonight about elbows.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for that.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a strange body part. I mean, all bent. Like, you bend it, and it's got, like, this weight. Like, if you pull on the skin, you can have, like, a little change purse. That's a Jimmy McHugh joke. If you pull on that skin, like, you just put your arm out straight, you can pull on that skin, and it's, like, it's loose. It's weird, and it has there's no sensitivity to it. It's, like, you poke a hole through that with, like, with a sharp object.
Ew.
Dread is melted. Calm down.
Yeah.
It's gooey.
It is. Isn't it weird? It's like all. You never even thought about it before, did you? It's all stretchy.
Why is yours?
See,
gooey?
Nope.
Because it's soft, and oh, because I use lotion.
Oh.
See, and then that's the other thing is some people get
elbows.
Dry elbows.
Yep. I have one that is dry, and it's problematic.
That's the worst. And mine get dark too if I don't scrub them real good, just because I'm a little browner.
This is why you like the same way. For some reason the elbows and the knees,
yes.
They always are darker. Yes, so much darker than I think. And I always, like when I was a kid, I would scrub them because I thought they were dirty, but it was just like dry skin.
Oh yeah, my mom would tell me, she's like, you have to scrub harder. And I'm like, oh, okay. Great. Bleeding, is that enough?
No wonder,
see, this is perfect.
No wonder your bathtubs are so full of scrubbing those elbows.
Bloody, I was making borscht with mine.
See, now we put people off of bathtubs again. There was a night, actually it was an afternoon, it was a late afternoon, Craig, when we set the record for saying the word that people really hate, a body part that people just can't seem to stand the sound of. And the reason I said elbows is because I really think that the word vagina is not horrible. It's a body part, and people attach all these horrible things to it as far as ideas, and then we have to use nicknames. There's no nickname. Is there a nickname for your elbow? Does anybody have a nickname for their elbow? Anyone?
My bow.
No. Your bow?
Oh, I like that. Well, now there is. Yeah.
And you know, and the thing is...
Sorry, I scratched you with my bow.
Pardon my bow. I'll get my bows all up in this fight.
Wow, I'm all bows tonight. Sorry about that. Yeah. Sound like bow jokes.
See, this is. Can you insult somebody with your elbows? This is where we've come with women's body parts, right? We use it as like we use a C word.
Right.
Even the presidential candidate What's his name? What's his name? Oh, Donald Trump. That's his name. He said the P word. And by the way, please don't text us and ask us what the P word is, because I don't think I don't like that word just because it's got too many S's. I think is really the problem I have with that.
If you don't know what it is,
right?
It's too late now.
Esmeralda,
you've gone past the point of not you. You're done. You don't get to know.
There's no help for you. I was at a comedy club in San Antonio that week when Donald Trump said that word. There was a woman in the crowd who called Ted Cruz that word. And rather than just let it, he could have just let it go, he repeated it.
Yep.
He said, well, I'm just repeating her. I didn't call him that. I was just repeating that word. But that's an insult.
Child.
I know.
Do you realize that? He is like a child.
But you're right. The fact that it's an insult.
It's an right, girls. Although so is calling a guy the guy part, calling them a penis, but they'd call them the thing. On radio, I can actually say that word, but I'm not gonna, because I think it should be held to the same sort of level as the C word. But you can say that word on national television on primetime. I remember watching 2 1/2 Men, our friend Mark Roberts, who wrote for that show. I've got to ask him about this sometime, because the things that they got away with on that show are pretty impressive. But they use the male body part for each other. This is getting a weird conversation. But anyway.
To get even weirder? We got Trucker Dave on the line.
Okay. Hey, Trucker Dave.
Hey, Patty. How are you liking L.A.?
Oh, it's if I didn't have to drive so much, it would be better.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not raining there like it is here.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's chilly.
You were talking about the skin fold on the elbow, and strangely enough, it's referred to as a weenus.
Is it really?
Yes.
What?
This can't be real.
W-E-N-I-S.
Wait. See how this comes? I didn't even plan for this.
Are you pulling our leg, Trucker Dave?
Are you pulling our
weenus?
I'm not kidding. My oldest daughter, she's a CNA, and when she was taking her classes, they talked about that, and she came home and said, "Feel my weenus." I'm like, "Excuse me?" And she stretched her arm out, and she goes, "Yeah, this skin right here, that's what it's called the weenus."
You are right.
In fact, yep. The extra skin on the outside. Yeah, we're all Googling it.
In Yahoo, disturbing images come up, I will just warn you.
Weenus images?
Of things, yeah.
Wow.
Of weenuses?
You know, okay. I now think there is a new pretty late shirt that we have to make. Are you pulling my weenus? I really like that one. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Are you pulling my weenus?
Are you pulling my weenus? I think we might have to have a segment. Are you pulling my weenus?
That would be great.
Thank you, Trucker Dave.
And that's all because of Trucker Dave. I think Trucker Dave deserves a Lou Malnati's pizza.
All right, let's give him a pizza.
I don't qualify.
Oh, you won something recently?
Oh, you've won recently?
Yeah.
Wow, that's some honesty.
I know.
Stop giving us such good ideas, Trucker Dave.
Well,
I mean, you got to...
You know, that's what you get for having loyal listeners. You got to be, support the troop.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, that's what we could do. We could give it to we have some friends that work with maybe the Rags of Honor. Maybe we send over the Lou Malnati's in your name, a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Yeah, and when we do finally make the Pulling My Weenus shirt, we will send him one for sure.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Okay. There we go. And maybe we can have the Rags. No, the Rags of Honor probably shouldn't. They shouldn't make that shirt. They make shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know about this.
You could do it back-to-back with what's in the box.
See? I like that. Are you pulling my weenus? Maybe we change the Weekend Wind-Up title. No, that has its own title. We'll figure it out. But you've set us in a great direction. Thank you so much.
All right. You enjoy your stay in L.A.
Thank you. There you go. Now we know. Now we know that's what that's called.
Patty, we have Chris on the line. He's got another segment idea.
All right.
Hey, Ted.
Yes. What's going on, Chris?
Teddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I think you should call it Weenus Envy.
Oh, nice. Weenus Envy. See, this works out very well.
312-981-7200. What should our weenus segment be called?
Do you think we'll get in trouble? Because now every time we say it, we have to go, no, that's the skin on your elbow. People aren't going to believe us, Craig. We have to make sure that everyone's aware.
Right. Now, that's
definition.
Why we get the T-shirts and stuff. We're really going to start to bring awareness to weenuses.
Should we also weenus have
awareness.
One that says...
Weenus awareness.
Should we have one that says your weenus is showing?
Cover your weenus.
Cover your weenus.
You're such a weenus. Oh, this is too much.
Yeah,
it's cold out. Cover your weenus.
And it's good because it works as an insult because no one, that's not a great,
great
part of the body.
You can use it for all different seasons. There's so many like applications here.
And it's gender neutral. This is fantastic. Yes. We have, and maybe people are already using this. I don't want to feel like I've discovered this. If anyone's already been doing this, Chris, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
No problem.
There you go. Weenus envy. These are all good things.
Can I say, though, when people have dry weenuses, it's the worst? No, when you see people like their arm, you're like, gross, because it just looks like.
I will say, I have a beautiful weenus. It is. Look at Craig.
I got two beautiful
weenus. Just the one?
I got two.
Two. Now, wait a minute. If you notice somebody has an ugly weenus, do you tell them about it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because are they going to do about it?
No, don't be judgy about Craig. People's weenuses. Yeah. You gotta leave a weenus alone where you
I'm all about telling people if you have like a pimple or something, like letting someone know if in case they don't know. And so if you had a bad weenus, you should be informed.
Pretty sure they know they have a bad weenus.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Although you don't know. Not everybody checks their weenus. More after this on 720 WGN. I mean, that's written for me to. How do you not stop?
Yeah, I have no idea. That was great.
I don't even know what that meant. Right. What was that?
I'm gonna go with meatballs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I would assume.
I guess that's only. Yeah. I guess that's really.
Those are the only real balls in Chicago you can eat.
Yeah.
Well.
We have Dan on the line. He wanted to give us more weenus ideas.
Please, Dan. Yeah. Please give us some more weenus ideas.
Hey, I was thinking just copy some of the marketing slogans that are already out there, like, say, the dairy, you know, want weenus, or, like, from Intel, weenus inside.
I'm sorry.
Took a dark turn.
These are really good ideas. No, these are really good ideas, Dan.
These are excellent ideas. What else you got? I don't know what the other marketing. I was gonna go with got weenus too. That's the milking one. I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it. Thank you now. Did you know it was?
I do Intel.
Okay, weenus Intel. Inside. So, did you know that the skin on your elbow was called a weenus? Or is that new to you?
No, I'm kind of surprised about that. But I was also surprised that you don't really have much feeling in it either. So.
Right. It's sad that our weenuses are so numb.
Yeah.
Wake up your weenus.
I got to agree with you, Patty.
I think it's a waste of real estate when it comes to nerve endings. I mean, I'm sure.
I use my weenus more often.
Exactly. Right? Use it or lose it is what I use it or lose it when it comes to your weenus. Thank you, Dan. We've gotten. I know. Yep. Thank you, Dan, for joining.
I feel like you have to, you know, use your weenus the right way. It's not just that
absolutely.
You use it. Yeah.
So how do you use it?
I think there's a lot of skill behind using your weenus.
Yeah. Don't be willy nilly with your weenus.
Right.
Mine is especially dry today. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
The right one.
James,
do you need?
Grabbing...
I have some lotion.
Hold on, James.
I really
just grabbing his weenus in studio. James,
look at that.
Put your weenus down.
My weenus.
Need to exfoliate.
Oh, no, my weenus is in good shape. I think it's because of my bubble bath today. I think that I took good care. That took care of a lot of problems.
I wonder, can you get your weenus waxed?
From the 708, if you play with your weenus, you will go blind.
I'll bet that's true.
Because it's at the end of your arm?
From the 224,
right? you can't
tell your butt from your weenus. From the 262, do women really care about the size of a man's weenus?
Well, if it's like dangling, you know, if it's excessive, I mean, I'm not impressed.
You want a very firm weenus. You don't
no one wants a dangling weenus.
Taut. You want it taut, even. T-A-U-T.
And average is fine, too. Average.
Yeah, average is fine. Excessive is. For those just joining in, just tuning on, you know, into WGN Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, the skin on your elbow, that loose skin, is called your weenus. So everyone with two arms has two weenuses.
Chris has another thing he'd like to say about weenuses.
Okay. Hey, Chris. What do you want to tell us?
This is a different one, a different Chris than the one before, but can you kiss my the boo-boo on my weenus?
And Chris is gone. Thank you so much for the call, Chris.
There you go.
Thanks,
kiss my weenus. Yeah, see, that's a different campaign. That's where we're going to get in trouble right there, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could also do song titles. You're the wind between. Wait, the wind beneath my weenus? No. Another one bites the weenus? No.
Wow, it's only 11:30 for you on the West Coast.
Craig, are you okay? Craig, really? He does not like when we get we're doing into lyrics of songs.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's weenus songs are fine.
While my weenus gently weeps.
I think Patty liked that one.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think we definitely need a Prince tribute, you know, purple weenus.
Raspberry weenus.
This is what it sounds like.
You know that song, Little Red Corvette, is all about sex. Did you guys know this?
Yeah. Or it could have been about elbow skin. You don't know. By the way, before I forget this, you sent me a picture tonight, Mr. James Vickery.
Oh,
and I cannot believe it. John Slattery. Your wife hung out with John Slattery?
She did.
I have to look that up.
She's still your
Silver
wife?
Fox of Mad Men?
Right? Roger Sterling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a cool picture.
Can I say what she's got going on? She's in another episode of?
Of Love on Netflix.
Hey! Yeah. They brought her back.
Brought her
back.
That
means that there was a clamoring for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, that means that someone was like, bring that girl back. We want her.
Big couple People weeks. And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine just aired.
Yes. Everyone was very excited. I did not get a chance to see it. It looked like she was playing a nurse, yes?
I did. I saw it. It was great.
Yeah, it's cool. Season
finale. She jumped in the scene, and she wanted to help, and the whole thing was a lie.
Yep.
So it was very funny.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a good scene.
Oh, dear.
So.
And so how many episodes? Is it one more episode of Love for her?
Yes. Yep. As far as I know.
What did she say about John Slattery?
Super nice.
Did she get his number so we can give him a wake-up call?
I don't know if she got her... his number, now that you say that.
You don't know? That's not good, James.
I assume she
did. You gotta ask her about his weenus.
Of course.
By the way, I think later on, our wake-up call has to go to Steve Cochran just to tell him about our discovery of the origin. Well, what a weenus is. I think he'll enjoy that as a voicemail.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
When I think of weenuses, I think Steve Cochran.
Save it for the voicemail.
Yep, save it for the voicemail. Oh, by the way, I have a funny story from when you guys called me. You did the wake-up call while I was in.
Yes.
I was actually in San Francisco. I would have answered. I just didn't know the phone had rung. But at the time, and I got permission to tell the short version of the story, but the situation I was in when you called, I was in a hotel room in San Francisco. Kristen... And our friend of ours, we had all overindulged, but our friend here in particular had overindulged. She was throwing up in the bathroom of this hotel room. It was a great time. We had so much fun, though, that she said she would do it all over again, even knowing she'd get sick. That's how much, you know, but it's like one of those nights where it's like someone's paying for this. This is too much fun kind of thing. So she was throwing up in the bathroom. They slept in the bed in this hotel room. I slept in a chair all night.
You were such a gentleman.
Isn't it such a gentlemanly thing? And then got coffee in the morning. But that's the situation I was in when you called. I wished I had answered.
I think you made the right choice out of respect for the woman who was suffering. Oh man,
that's one of those things.
Well, that's one of those things where you hope you never do that again. And well, I'm glad that she had fond memories of it. More after this when we come back. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. All right, you go ahead. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live from our Allstate Showcase Studios, West in Los Angeles. James, I just realized I'd like to talk to your wife. Is that I just asked Craig to give her a call. Does that sound like an okay plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're probably giving him. All right, because
sure.
I want to talk to her about filming this episode of Love and a couple other things, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
She's has appeared in the Netflix series Love and just recently shot another episode of that, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which we're all very excited about. Do you know if she happens to be listening tonight?
I know she was as of a little bit ago, so let me see here.
I hope she stayed awake for the weenus conversation because, I mean, it'd be sad if she missed out on a little weenus.
Yeah, that was a game-changing.
Or a lot of weenus.
Yeah, a lot of weenus. Yeah.
It was a lot of weenus. By the way, I meant to talk about vaginas in that conversation, and it's amazing that we ended up talking about something that sounds like the male body part, but really is just the skin on an elbow. It's like the universe doesn't want me to talk about vaginas, and I'm sure their listeners are like, yeah, please stop. But that was going to be my point, was that if you can say elbow or earlobe or, you know, any other body part, when people say vagina, you shouldn't be so bent out of shape like an elbow. I'm sorry. That was my point.
Did that happen recently or just every time?
A woman was – there was a teacher in Michigan who is an art teacher teaching middle school. So that's got to be, what, 11, 12 years, 13 mm-hmm. years old?
Yep, 10, 11,
she was fired for using the word vagina. Fired.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was she just yelling it in the streets?
Right? Shouting it at people.
No, but I feel like I feel like shouting it at people. No, she was having a discussion, you know, when it comes to painting the female body. She was, you know, talking about the anatomy and how you, you know, depict humans and use the word. And she was fired.
What did they want it called?
I don't maybe they don't want it discussed, I think.
The no-no place.
The no-no.
Your special.
When you're painting the woo-woo.
Area. Yeah.
Would you like to ask Kristen McAllister for her ideas on that idea, on that conversation?
Yeah. Kristen McAllister, how are you doing?
Hi.
We were talking about you, and I'm like, I can just talk to you on my show.
You can.
You
I'm
lovely,
here.
Fantastic performer who has pursued her dreams. And there have to be people who go, okay, Kristen, you can go out to L.A. You know, it's a little – what that sounds like a nice idea. And here you are making appearances on some of the best TV shows out there. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, Patty.
Of course.
Yeah, I had to kind of remind myself the other day. I was like, oh, hey, you're living your dream.
You are. You
great.
Kristen,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pinch yourself. Do something. Just go, oh, my God, this is happening. Take a step back.
I treat myself all the time. No, don't worry.
Well done. James is telling us that you just shot an episode of Love Yesterday with it was directed by actor, well, and also director, apparently, John Slattery.
It was. Yeah, it was. It was really fun. And
did you
want
to...
Nice. I heard James tell you that, but he was really nice. True, he was.
Did you happen to get it? Did you get his phone number by any chance?
I didn't get his phone number. No, I didn't ask for his phone number, but I really kind of wanted to. Every time he said my name, I was like, he knows my name.
Roger Sterling. I know.
I know. It's funny. I had a bigger crush.
Really nice guy.
I like John Hamm, but I liked Roger Sterling more, even though, I mean, they're equally despicable kind of characters. But I just, there was something about Roger Sterling that
Roger
enjoyed.
Sterling had such a great, like, humor. He had such a good, like, you know, the character was funny, too, you know?
I agree. By the way, the other thing I wanted to get you on the phone for, I was about to text you while we were in the news, and I thought, well, again, let's just talk to her. And this is, Craig, you know how we do on-air production meetings? This is my moment of an on-air calendar just for my
cool.
social activities for the week, yes. So I thought I'd just do that. Kristen, are you busy on Saturday night?
Saturday night, well, I'm going to, there's like an art show kind of thing in the neighborhood that I'm going to in the early evening, but then that's it.
Oh, I think there's a thing called, have you seen this event page on Facebook? It's called Pancakes and Art.
No, I haven't.
We should probably, I'm trying to figure out something to hang out with you on Saturday or come over to the house. And we,
yeah.
I'm sorry, James.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's... No, that's like, it's right down the street from my place, but then after that I'm free. So we should definitely
All right.
hang out.
Yeah,
are we just saying this on the radio right now? We're just like scheduling our hangout.
I told you that.
You guys should get a drink first. Where should you get a drink? I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing, Kristen. I'm so impressed. I mean, I've known people that have come out to L.A., and I know there are some that adjust really quickly. We've actually known a couple comics, James, who did not adjust so well to moving to L.A. Kristen seems to just kind of glide into a new situation and go, yep, this is where I belong.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
And she's always really upbeat and positive.
Yeah, I never get down about anything. Bridget over here just laughed about that too.
Yeah, so that's our, you know, Patty, they have a show coming up. So Kristen and her friend Bridget out there, another very talented performer, they're doing a sketch show that I have directed. And
You're filming it, right? You're doing a pilot episode of this?
No, this is going to be a live.
We're actually doing it live. We're doing it live.
When are you doing it?
On Monday, May 9th.
Yeah.
Right after you leave. Right.
Yeah, right after. Apparently James and I can no longer be in the same.
I know. That's the day I get in. Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. What do you suggest, Kristen, as somebody who seems to really, because you moved from your hometown in Louisiana to New York and then to Chicago and now to Los Angeles, because I think there are people who are hesitant to pick everything up and change their lives like that. Do you kind of have this, mental attitude going in and just like, this is what I want to do. I'm not going to let any fears hold me back. Because I'm fascinated by this.
I do it, so I must have that in me somewhere, but that's not really what I'm thinking when I'm doing it. I'm really thinking, well, let's try this out. We'll see how this, I definitely have a lot of fear, but yeah, I just want to be an actor, so I'm not going to not do it, I guess.
Right. You've gone for it. I think there are so many things that hold people back. And the unknown. I think the biggest thing is the unknown, or what if I don't succeed? And I think the bigger fear should be, what if I don't try?
Right.
And I think that you've gotten past that.
That's what kept me going is, well, I have to try. If I don't try, I'll regret that more. I was thinking about this today, actually, because I've been in L.A. for a year and a half now, and I was just thinking about all the things that I've done and the friends that I've made and everything. And I was like, I really feel like I want to let people know, just do it. Because it's not easy, but you learn a ton and you move forward no matter what, if you just do it.
Yeah, you do. You have to just, and that sounds like such a simple way to say it, but it's really the truth. And it's not a solution for everything. And we're not saying that everything will work out. But I think it's more scary.
Oh, no, it's really hard. It's really hard. That's the thing, too. It's very, very hard. Don't think it's going to be easy. It's very hard, but worth it, I think.
Yeah, and committing to it, too. It's like when I left grad school, and I did the stupidest thing. I'm not saying this was a good idea. I had a scholarship, and I had a stipend, and I decided that I would just basically fail. I just stop showing up. I didn't want to have the ability to go back. It would have just been very easy to stay and been like, or come back, take some time off. They were very accommodating. They were like, do you want to take some time off and come back later? And the way they said it sounded like, good luck with that. It's your little pipe, your little dream of being a comic. It sounded so fantastical to people and not reasonable. Yeah. And I thought, if I just take some time off, I'll spend 3 months and I'll have a few bad times on stage and be like, well, I'll just go back to grad school. And that sounds crazy. And I know it sounds wasteful too. And I don't mean to say that, but I had to commit to something. I had to take that leap.
And that's what it takes, is just taking it and seeing if it works. But then you also knew I guess you could go back. We always know okay, we could fall back on these things, but you just, are driven, I think, by a dream, and so you just follow it.
Now that you have followed your dream, and now you've sat in a few makeup chairs in Los Angeles, how weird is that part? When you're in whether it's the trailer or wherever you are on the set, and you've got, you have stars of other shows. Are you with the featured performers as well, or do you get to hang out with any of the leads?
I get to hang out with them, but it's very much, because I'm just coming into these shows that are already, that have their casts, and I'm, a day player. It definitely, you don't feel like you're part of the cast when you come in. You kind of just sort of feel like you're part of that show for that day, but there's definitely a camaraderie they have that it's hard to get into,
right.
But everybody's super nice, and you can kind of, I feel like it's sort of it's different each time. I've had different experiences each time, and some haven't been great, and some have been better. So it's hard to say how they all go.
Right.
They're all different.
Well, and that'll probably be the way it continues, as you have different projects. What I want you to do is, figure out some way to get a hold of John Slattery, because we're trying to collect more celebrity phone numbers to do wake-up calls. So
Patty met Dave Chappelle. She met Dave Chappelle earlier today.
Today, Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, I did not ask him for his number either. Yes, yeah. I did. I gave him my business card. So hopefully someday he you know how many people I give my business card to and then I never hear from them? So I don't know that that it'll go anywhere. But yeah, I was having sushi at Sugarfish. And it was fantastic. I might go back tomorrow. Not because I want to see Dave Chappelle, because I want some more of that. I want some more of that. They actually have something on the menu called the Trust Me. It's the chef's selection. Oh, it's so good.
Kristen,
so,
Bridget, so and good. I went there a couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're so nice. They walk you through the whole thing, what should have soy sauce, what shouldn't, if it's already sauced. They don't want you to put soy sauce on it. He was showing, because it has a warm, sticky rice, and how to pick it up and dip it. Man. Oh, so good.
Do you know what I would do? So, is there a late-night sushi place in Chicago? There really isn't, is there? There should be.
I think, I'm sorry. I just realized that it's almost midnight in L.A., but it's almost
2 a.m.
Kamahache might have, Kamahache used to have their upstairs used to go past midnight, but I don't know that it's past 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google it. Google Chicago late night sushi. There's gonna be something. Well, and there's some Walgreens, but I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna work.
Kristen, thank you so much for letting us catch up with you, and we'll talk about Saturday. We'll do something.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
All right, thank you. And how can people follow you? Find out what's coming up next, and when your appearances are going to be hitting Netflix and such.
They can go to @TheKristenMick on Twitter.
Follow her on Twitter, and we'll talk to you again soon. I'll see you on Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday. Okay.
See you Saturday. Bye, James. All right.
Bye.
Perfect. You guys are a cute couple. Look at you across the country and everything. More after this on 720 WGN. Believe me, hanging on like the yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. I don't want to miss it when you hit that high. Wake me up before you go, go. You are listening pretty late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez. And James, I just came across something on Facebook. I have my, your memories, your Facebook memories. Mm-hmm. Apparently, 2 years ago this morning, you were on our show talking about, have you ever had to stay, have your romantic partner with you and at your parents' place? Was what we were talking about 2 years ago tonight. Yeah.
Wow. 2 years ago, really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I don't think it was the Cubs game one either, epic Cubs game that went on until that actually never happened. It was canceled due to flooding in the infield.
It that must have been about when first time I stayed at Kristen's house in Baton Rouge, and we had to sleep in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, people. I mean, we had a very long conversation about how weird that is and the different things that, our partner.
Yep.
Oh, we're calling Steve Cochran right now.
Okay, there we go.
Yes.
I love that wake me up.
Yeah, it's a wake up call for it's a pretty late wake up call, and I think we want to talk about the show. We'll do a little wrap up and let him know what we talked about tonight. I really, someday we're gonna get in so much trouble if he leaves his ringer on. He's gonna come after us. It's gonna hurt. He's gonna hurt us, and I wouldn't blame him. I really hope we get the voicemail. And it would be weird if
I am. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
I hope he's in, though. I mean,
at the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I'm nervous now. I don't know why. Hey, Steve, it's Patty Vasquez. I'm pretty late. And joining me in studio back in Chicago is
Greg Collins,
James Vickery,
and Esmeralda Leon.
We're really glad we got your voicemail.
We want to make sure that if you do ever answer the phone, this was completely Patty's idea. At no point was anyone else in the show ever consulted.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I was against it fully.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look at this. What is that on my back? Oh, it's the bus wheels. All the track marks.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hitting the gas full tilt.
Just right out of the next stop. Wow, everybody. Well, you know what? We actually haven't heard from Steve since our last voicemail we left, so I'm not entirely sure we have permission or his blessing to do this. But I did receive a text message today from Lewis Black saying that he got our message a couple weeks ago, and he did laugh, and he apologized for taking so long to respond. He's been busy, and maybe that's why Steve hasn't acknowledged that we leave him messages once in a while. But look, we were talking weenuses tonight, and I felt that if we're going to talk about weenuses, we should invite Steve Cochran into the conversation. Which sounds tawdry and naughty, which I know is not surprising to many people that we would go in that direction. But it turns out the weenus is not that dirty, right, James?
No, not that dirty. It's not. Not pleasant. It's the skin on the elbow, right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that. It's that loose skin on the back of your arm that's by the elbow.
That you could stick a knife through or whatever that Patty said, a pin through. No sensitivity.
A pin.
Our listeners actually did not disappoint as well. They came up with many weenus ideas for us, including renaming some books from the 815. I just finished reading Moby Weenus. It's a little bit too long. That's a good point.
Pretty good one.
People renamed some songs. Oh, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer weenus.
There you go.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. Movies.
That's not going to be good on a bun. A weenus is not good on a bun.
From the 563, My Fair Weenus, Star Weenus, Raiders of the Lost Weenus.
See, this is what happens when we struck gold. We had no
idea.
We were texted a
Trucker
top
Dave.
10 list of things to avoid with your weenus, things that you should not get your weenus caught in.
So no.
That.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be a long. That seems like more than 10. You would not want to get your weenus stuck in a lot of things.
There's got to be a ton of stuff. Yeah. How embarrassing.
And all I was trying to do. To be honest, I was trying to talk about vaginas, and somehow we ended up in weenuses instead. I'm not disappointed. This was fantastic and fertile ground, but it was not the direction
I was... It always goes to the weenus.
Mm-hmm. It always goes
see, isn't
to
that
the weenus.
We should bring it back to the vagina.
You should avoid poking the lady behind you in the grocery store with your weenus.
Yes.
Just letting people know.
Yeah. And what were some of the shirt ideas?
Oh,
I think
we had a lot of
one.
Yeah.
Show me
your weenus or weenus envy,
yep.
I think was another
weenus
one.
Weenus envy.
Right.
I do like that. Okay.
Marketing ideas for the Pretty Late Show, weenus t-shirts. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at.
Weenus t-shirts. Yeah.
Was that the end of his message, you think?
Not yet.
No.
That's the warning before the end of his message.
You have reached the
now
maximum
we're done.
We're
recording your message.
She sounded angry she was listening to the conversation.
Yeah, I think that was live. I don't even think that was.
I think so, too.
She's got bad weenuses, so she's mad about it.
She is. She does not want to hear any more weenus talk.
I loved getting this message, so I'm sure he appreciates it, too.
I think he will, too. Craig, I have to know, there have to be listeners. There has to be somebody who mistook what we were talking about as tawdry talk.
All the texters seem to be in on our weenus conversation.
Which makes me think that there was a phone call or two.
None of our texters got confused at all by this topic.
So somebody on the phone, go ahead, let's talk about the caller. Yeah. They got mad that we were talking about
weenuses. I think some people called in to call us a little bit juvenile. I think that might have been the term used.
At 1:30 in the morning,
what?
How dare we?
Us?
This show? Are you sure?
Are you positive we can go in any direction? That's kind of the point of the show.
Yeah.
We got to cover a lot of ground.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah. Weenuses were part of the conversation tonight.
We get giggly about it. That's please, the texters, anytime. Hey, if you want us to talk about other things, when we talk about something, you got to chime in, and then we'll go in that direction. We were encouraged by our very, prolific texters and callers. We were enjoying it. So there you go. Just because you didn't like it, why get mad at the people who did?
That's right. Why ruin the fun? That's what I always say to people.
And the thing is, hold on. There will always be something for you. That's why you're here. I mean, you may not like this moment, but wait till the next moment.
That'll be kind of the same. The texters really loved it, though. We got a lot of texts tonight. People saying that they really like a plump ballpark weenus. They were really, really,
they really got into it.
Yeah.
Can we not put ketchup on our weenuses?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, because then you're going to get out of everything,
Just onions and tomatoes.
Well, maybe if you have short sleeves.
I just got into it. That's okay.
Got to get that one. Okay, yeah, now we're all with you.
Patty, by the way, where are you still? Have you been crouching this? I just picture you crouching in a hallway this entire time in your setup.
I moved one of the loungers into the foyer. I do have to figure out a way to take a picture, but.